WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. Sean Diddy Combs found not guilty of sex trafficking and not guilty of racketeering conspiracy. The verdict's a big win for the hip-hop mogul who was convicted of two lesser charges of transportation for prostitution. ABC's Aaron Katursky has more on what the jury had agreed upon.
They really had to make a difficult decision, not just on the racketeering conspiracy, but as the defense said, the women that Combs was accused of trafficking were also his long-term girlfriends. Cassie Ventura with him for 11 years. Jane with him for more than 3 years. And the defense tried to argue that they were consensual relationships.
Aaron Katursky outside the courthouse. Both sides have until 1 o'clock Eastern time this afternoon to write letters to the judge to advocate for and against his release. The judge has not set a time, but says he will decide on that today. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction estimates it will receive about $5.5 billion in general school aid under the tentative biennial budget agreement announced on Tuesday. The agency estimates that about 135 of the state's 421 school districts will receive more funding than they did last school year. 277 districts are estimated to receive less funding than last school year, including 86 districts that will receive the maximum 15% decrease in aid. Individual district estimates can be found on the DPI website. Wisconsin's Natural Resources Board has approved new white-tailed deer hunting rules for the 2025-2026 seasons. The new rules were agreed upon after receiving input from individual county deer advisory councils, residents, and the Department of Natural Resources. The Natural Resources Board approved a statewide kill quota of over 291,000 antlerless deer, a 7% increase over the last hunting season. The board also approved holiday gun hunt and extended bow seasons in three additional counties this year. The Northwest Regional Planning Commission and Burke Center for Ecosystem Research have received over $240,000 through the Wisconsin Coastal Management Program for restoration and conservation projects. Nearly $190,000 will be used to evaluate bluff stabilization and sediment production projects by the Burke Center at North Fish Creek. The Planning Commission will use $60,000 to develop a water flow map between the Fish Creek and White River watersheds in Ashland and Bayfield counties. A Hayward man was sentenced to prison for bankruptcy fraud and criminal contempt of court last week. 74-year-old Bernard Seidling was sentenced to 7 years in prison and ordered to pay a $500,000 fine following a 4-day federal trial. He was accused of filing for bankruptcy in 2022 while hiding around $20 million in assets and $1 million in cash that he had stashed in a crawl space under his house. Seidling had reported just one bank account with a balance of less than $200 in the original bankruptcy filing. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The crew in New York. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Mets in a doubleheader today after being rained out last night in Queens. The Brewers coming off a 4-3 loss in extra innings to the last place Rockies on Sunday. Pat Murphy.
You know, things have been going our way a bunch. We haven't had games like this in a while, so it's a good reminder that you can lose these games.
Basketball, the number one topic in NBA free agency. So far, the Bucks waiving Damian Lillard.
Over $110 million over the next couple of years. That means the Bucks are going to have $20 million on their books for the next 5 years. That is a lot of dead money, but that shows these level of pressure that this Milwaukee Bucks team is under to go out and get a guy in Miles Turner who can help them right now. Now, the Bucks still have a lot of things to sort out. They still need point guard help. Kevin Porter Jr. is not really an ideal long-term option as a starting point guard. You'd like to get another fix there, but this does give the Bucks some additional flexibility to go out and make more moves to add to this roster because they did lop off a whole bunch of money from their books.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm today into this evening. Otherwise, partly cloudy. We'll get to around 83 for a high today. Tonight, down to 59. Tomorrow, sunshine, 85 with another chance of scattered showers tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to, like, bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller and Madison-based filmmaker Wendy Schneider, who will discuss her screening of the Smart Studio Story at the Atwood Music Hall. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Go, soul, the body's guest upon a thankless errand. Fear not to touch the best. The truth shall be thy warrant. Go, since I needs must die and give the world the lie. Say to the court, it glows and shines like rotten wood. Say to the church, it shows what's good and doth no good. If church and court reply, then give them both the lie. Tell potentates they live acting by others' action, not loved unless they give, not strong but by a faction. If potentates reply, give potentates the lie. Tell men of high condition that manage the estate, their purpose is ambition, their practice only hate. And if they once reply, then give them all the lie. Tell them that brave at most, they beg for more by spending, who in their greatest cost seek nothing but commending. And if they make reply, give them all the lie. Tell zeal it wants devotion. Tell love it is but lust. Tell time it is but motion. Tell flesh it is but dust. And wish them not reply, for thou must give the lie. Tell age it daily wasteth. Tell honor how it alters. Tell beauty how it blasteth. Tell favor how it falters. And as they all reply, give every one the lie. Tell wit how much it wrangles in tickle points at niceness. Tell wisdom she entangles herself in other wiseness. And when they do reply, straight give them both the lie. Tell physic of her boldness. Tell skill it is pretension. Tell charity of coldness. Tell law it is just contention. And if they do reply, then still give them the lie. Tell fortune of her blindness. Tell nature of decay. Tell friendness of unkindness. Tell justice of decay. And if they will reply, then give them all the lie. Tell arts they have no soundness, but vary by esteeming. Tell schools they want profoundness. They stand too much on seeming. If arts and schools reply, give arts and schools the lie. Tell faith it's fled the city. Tell how the country erreth. Tell manhood shapes off pity. Tell virtue least preferreth. And if they do reply, spare not to give the lie. So when thou hast, as I commandeth thee, done blabbing, although to give the lie deserves no less than stabbing, stab at thee he that will. No stab that soul can kill. The Lie by Sir Walter Raleigh. We are on the air with, from the belly of the beast, Congressman Mark Pocan. Congressman, the bill that passed yesterday went through reconciliation by saying it would add no debt, despite every financial estimate saying it would add $3 trillion in debt. I think the biggest debt-creating bill of all time. Do I exaggerate? Do I misstate? Do I misspeak by calling that a lie?
No, you're exactly right. They've come up with very Orwellian new language to try to claim that if you just extend something, that there's nothing added to the debt. But we know that the Trump tax cuts had a definite end date, And like we've always done here in Congress for a long, 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 long time, if you start that program back up, there's a cost to it, especially if you haven't funded it. So they're just, you know, trying to do all kinds of shell games to make sure that Donald Trump and Elon Musk and those who afford to belong to Mar-a-Lago get a tax break. But no, you're exactly right. And they're full of lies. They also say no one will lose access to Medicaid. There's going to be millions and millions of people. No one's going to lose access because the Affordable Care Act cuts in funding subsidies. Altogether, it's 17 million people losing health care. There's just a whole lot of lies with this bill.
Are there any moderates left in Congress? Are there any actual budget hawks who care not only about lowering expenses for the biggest of the rich and actually care about the debt and balancing a budget which has two sides of a ledger? Is there any hope that as this now has come out of committee and is hitting your chamber, the House, is there any hope that this thing is stalled?
You know, a lot of Republicans right now, I think mainly because they want a little attention, are saying they're undecided. But, you know, I've watched this show before, and I know what's going to happen. And we'll have a rule vote very soon, probably during this hour that we're doing the program. I'll have to head to go do a rule vote to set up the final vote for the bill. And if that passes, there's no question in my mind that this bill is going to pass. And, you know, right now, Donald Trump is strong-arming people at the White House. And, you know, what they won't do is stand up to their cult leader. And because of that, you know, a couple may vote against it. But my guess is they will pass this thing, because the one thing more than all the integrity and everything else that we're talking about is providing tax cuts to their donors is good business.
So explain the rule vote. Give us the window. One of the values of having you on the show is so people can better understand the workings of their government. You say if the rule vote happens, then I know it's going to pass on the floor. Explain that a little bit.
Yeah, so the rule vote just kind of sets up the actual vote on the bill on the floor, but it's also like a test vote. And if they decide to set it up for a vote on the floor, my guess is that means they're going to have the votes they need on the floor, or else people would vote against the rule, even though it's considered procedural. So generally, Republicans would vote for it if they're in the majority, and we would vote for it if we were in the majority. But it's really, to me, a pretty good test vote. I got the feeling it might be open for a while they're twisting arms and talking to people. So that's a possibility. But I don't think there's going to be a lot of chapters added to Profiles in Courage with this Congress, bluntly. And that's why I think, you know, at the end of the day, Donald Trump will get what he wants, even if it means it costs them the House and maybe the Senate next year.
I saw a post by my former moderate governor, John Kitzhaber, former governor, still moderate person, John Kitzhaber, who it was an open letter to Cliff Bentz, one of your colleagues. Cliff Bentz represents the District 2 in the state of Oregon, which is the eastern and southern part of the state, basically asking him not to inflict, it was 233,000 Oregonians losing their health care, not to, which would result in the closing of rural hospitals, which would result in enormous budget crisis within the state of Oregon. And it's happening here. I mean, it's happening everywhere. I would say that if you were in Klamath Falls or Cave Junction, if you were in Prineville or Pendleton or Ashland to Ontario, that you do call the congressional switchboard. If you're in District 2 in Oregon, I know we get calls from there from time to time, do call Cliff Bentz. And I would say the same thing to other folks. We had this discussion yesterday. Is it worth calling members of Congress? I actually want to put that question to you, Mark. We have folks, when they're looking for something to do, they call members of Congress. I have my view, and I'm happy to share it, but I'm more interested in yours. Is it worth people's time to light up the switchboard and to hear, to make sure their member of Congress hears from them?
Yeah, absolutely, especially on an issue like this. I mean, I guarantee a lot of billionaires don't, you know, make the call over and over, right? So if this bill is largely benefiting a very few, they're just not going to have the pro calls. And if they get a lot of people who are afraid they're going to lose health care or the Pell Grants or food assistance or people who just care about people who are going to lose those programs or people who don't want to have the country go more into debt, then, you know, that call, we get weekly records of that. But right now their offices, if the phone keeps ringing and people are saying no, and then they're going to, you know, just cave to Donald Trump, Well, you know, it definitely has an effect. There's a reason why Don Bacon, I think, last week announced he wasn't running for re-election in the House out of Omaha, a swing seat that Democrats will likely pick up, and Tom Tillis in the Senate. So it's absolutely worth reaching out to your member of the House and Senate, but not to others, because honestly, each of our offices can only handle the constituents they have. That's why often on our websites, if you don't have the right zip code, you can't get in to leave a message.
Yeah.
It's just reality on that part.
We'll be right back. We're here with Congressman Mark Polk, and obviously we're talking about the bill, the biggest deficit-boosting bill in history, unless someone corrects me. My purpose is not to say a falsehood, but to say what I think is true. We'll be right back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. What are your thoughts on the big bill? I don't think if you are like the majority of Americans, you might like it as much as this president. Hey, if you're a homeowner, you need to listen to this. In today's AI and cyber world, scammers are stealing home titles and your equity is the target. Here's how it works. Criminals forge your signature on one document, use a fake notary stamp, pay a small fee to your county, and just like that, your home title has been transferred out of your name. Then they take out loans using your equity or even sell your property, and you won't even know it's happened till you get a collection or foreclosure notice. So when's the last time you checked on your home's title? If your answer is never, you need to do something about it right now. And that's why I've partnered with Home Title Lock, so you can find out today if you're already a victim. Go to HomeTitleLock.com/Tom, T-H-O-M, and you get a free title history report and a free trial of their $1 million triple lock protection. That's 24/7 monitoring of your title, urgent alerts to any changes, and if fraud does happen, they'll spend up to $1 million to fix it. Protect yourself like I did. Don't be a victim. Protect your equity today. Go to HomeTitleLock.com/Tom, T-H-O-M. That's HomeTitleLock.com/Tom.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the recombobulation area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's National Handshake Day, but I find the idea that you just meet someone and you're holding a body part of theirs kind of odd. Hello, stranger. I'd like to squeeze your hand. Let's have an intimate act here. I have no idea where it's been or how you choose to use your hand in your spare time, but I'd like to hold it for a while. Unless it's a friend. Look, I don't know why we have to touch each other when we barely know each other.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life.
SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com.
Summer's here, time to relax and hit the refresh. But if stress, sleepless nights, and sore muscles are getting in the way, CB Distillery has got you covered. CB Distillery's 4th of July sale is on, and you can save up to 50% site-wide with code VIP. We're a big fan of the sleep gummies. CB Distillery's got plant-based solutions for just about everything. Better sleep, relaxation, mood and focus, even pain after exercise. All made with premium hemp, grown right here in the United States. No fillers, no artificial ingredients. That's why over 2 million people trust CB Distillery. 4th of July sale is the perfect time to stock up and save up to 50% off with code VIP. And if you haven't tried CBD, there's no better time. Visit CBDistillery.com and use promo code VIP. That's CBDistillery.com, code VIP. CBDistillery.com. Specific product availability depends on individual state regulations. We're on the air with Congressman Mark Pocan and talking about the big bill, appreciating your inside look. So what happens now? Is there any other haggling, Congressman, that happens now? Is there any other, it's at a committee, it's going to have the rule vote, and then the vote is right now just phone calls from the whip and phone calls from leadership and phone calls from the president to any of the previous budget hawks, any of the people who have in their campaign said they wouldn't cut Medicaid, they wouldn't cut rural hospitals, they wouldn't cut food in order to convince suburban voters that they deserve power. Is all that's happening now sort of what you might call, what I think I'm using the word strong arming folks, or is there any other procedural element that anybody should be aware of?
No, I mean, this is the pressure campaign right now that's going to happen. At some point soon, we will have a rule vote. I'm looking, the Congressional Black Caucus is still doing what we call a conga line, where they're doing a kind of a dilatory practice of trying to take up an amendment that's not going to be ruled in order, but it's to slow things down a little. But no, it's just the pressure campaign. You know, Democrats had, I think it was almost 500 amendments all night through the Rules Committee. Republicans refused to take any of them up. So, you know, this is whether or not Trump has the juice that he thinks he has. I think he has the juice within the Republican Party, because we've seen it over and over and over again. I mean, we've let him cut funds that were under Congress's purview. We've let him do tariffs that technically are under Congress's purview. We've basically given up being Congress. We're just a bunch of people that maybe get invited to the White House or Mar-a-Lago if you're lucky. You know, it really is pretty sad, I got to admit, Jeff, where we're at with this session and how they're operating. But, you know, we'll see if any people really do hold out enough to try to get this bill to have anything different in it. But I think today is very likely. Maybe tomorrow morning, if for some reason they don't have enough members here or something, but not many more things that can happen.
So the president yesterday had sort of a weak and pathetic attempt to change the subject by saying he wanted to take American-born people and deport them. And I knew exactly what was happening. It's so clear to me now every single time when he says something absurd, it's because he wants to draw attention away from something that actually could hurt him, because he knows this could actually hurt him, because he is the most poll-driven president I've ever seen. Right. It's mm-hmm. for all the discussion. Oh, he's less of a politician. He's more of the worst parts of what we'd call a politician than anybody I've ever seen in my life, including he just watches polls. And when he sees them, he's got to change the subject. I was talking to my wife about it, and she said, but why does he even want this bill to pass? Why does he care? And I kind of wanted to ask you that question. Why do you think he even cares? Why not just let the bill fail?
Well, for one, it's a tax cut for him, right? The number one rule of the Trump family is take care of the Trump family. So if nothing else, that's it. Second is his ego. But you're exactly right. The first thing you said, I think is what Donald Trump is a master at, is diverting attention. You know, this bill is lopsided by 20 to 30 points in every poll that's out there. And the more people get to know it, half the people don't even know it, and it's that lopsided. The more people get to know it, the more they're going to hate what's in it. But he knows where he does well is when he talks about immigration and the border. So, you know, in L.A., when three square blocks in L.A. had issues, I think I saw that same car burn on fire about 100 times on TV, right? Because he wanted to blow it up into something much bigger to divert attention. But this is the holy grail for Donald Trump, is the tax cut for the wealthiest, for himself, for Republican donors, for the people who fund their campaigns, for the special interests in Washington. And after that, you know, he'll probably go back to, you know, talking about Greenland and acquiring Canada and all the other craziness he says. But this bill means everything to Donald Trump because, again, it means more money in Donald Trump's pockets at the end of the day. And that's why he cares so much.
On the air with Billy from Hamden, Connecticut. Billy, you had a question. We got about a minute.
Yeah, I usually have a selling point. Like Joe Biden's infrastructure bill did something good. They could sell it. Obamacare, it was good for health. What's the selling point on this Republican bill? There's nothing that they can sell people on.
Thank you, Billy.
Yeah, Billy. So one, they're claiming that everyone's taxes will go up 68%, which is pure BS, and we can have a whole separate conversation on that. But also, they got a new tax break for people on tips, overtime for seniors, and auto interest. But all of those add up to 5% of the bill. I mean, just the $1 trillion in cuts to health care alone is equal to the tax cut for the top 1% of people, just to give you an idea. So they give you a few crumbs and they're going to talk about that. But in reality, I can't say the final Senate bill, but prior to that bill, the bottom 30% of people were going to pay more under this bill. And I'm sure it's true of what the Senate did as well.
So we'll go. I want to hear this question. We've got about 15 seconds for you to ask it, Laura, and then we'll take it after. We'll answer it after the break. Laura, go ahead from Port Angeles, Washington.
Hi, Representative Pocan. Thank you for question for you. Are you there?
Laura, we'll take it after the break. I was seeing if we could sneak it in beforehand, but you wanted to be polite. You wanted to be polite by saying hello, but hello was all the time we had. So we'll stay with you, Laura, and pick you up right after this break.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
I'm back with Congressman Mark Pocan from Belly of the Beast and your phone calls, 202-808-9925. Congressional Switchboard, 202-224-3121.
With us today is co-founder of Native Path Collagen, Dr. Chad Walding. So glad to have you with us. Tell us about your company.
Well, Native Path, we're a company that is really all about aligning human health with the way it's designed to eat, move, and live. You know, we look at the past 100 years and we see a consistent rise in disease, specifically metabolic disease. That rise has been happening despite all our advances in technology and medicine. We really recognize and appreciate the timeless principles that are really appropriate for humans and human health. And what we do as a company is we educate people on nutrition and movement and lifestyle, and we help provide supplements to help fill in the gaps of the vitamins, the nutrients, and minerals that are missing in the modern diet.
And you do this with Native Path Collagen. What exactly is collagen?
Collagen is our hero product. That's the first product we came out with. And collagen is the most abundant protein in the body, right? It's what makes up the structure of your body, your tendons, your ligaments, the things that you look at, like your hair, your skin, your nails. It even makes up your bones and your gut lining. So it's extremely important to have collagen. And it's something that our ancestors would get plenty of with the way they ate, because they would eat nose to tail. They would take the bones of an animal. They would put it in a big pot with hot water and make broth. And that's how they would get collagen. But we're not getting near enough in our modern diet, because we're so bombarded with carbohydrates and fat, not near enough quality protein, certainly not enough collagen. And collagen is something we produce on our own, but around the age of 20, that starts to decline. Around 50, it really starts to decline. When we're deficient in collagen, it accelerates the aging process, the weakening of the structure of our body. So it becomes really important to start supplementing with it as we get older. Consuming quality protein, specifically in the form of collagen, is one of the easiest things you can do that makes the most difference in your health.
It's remarkable stuff. Dr. Chad Walding, thank you so much for dropping by today.
Awesome, Tom. Thank you so much. Good to be here.
Feel better, look younger, start your transformation today at getnativepath.com.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Pat Kreitlow and Trigvi Olsen will join us to discuss breaking news as it continues on the state budget and in Washington. Plus, what's worse, join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Realtors Association released its monthly report for May, showing a drop in home sales and increase in home prices from the same time last year. According to the report, home sales through the first 5 months of 2025 fell by 2.7% compared to the same period last year. The median home price also rose by nearly 7% to $315,000. While the number of existing homes for sale dropped by about 1.5%, the total number of listings rose by 8.5% with over 22,000 homes on the market. Governor Tony Evers and the Republican-controlled state legislature have tentatively agreed to a number of key provisions for the next biennial budget. The agreement includes a $1.3 billion income tax cut targeting the middle class, an over $250 million increase in funding for the universities of Wisconsin, a $500 million funding increase for K-12 special education programs, and $200 million for transportation projects. It also notably includes $330 million for child care programs. Nurses and advanced practice providers at Ascensia Health and Aspirus facilities in Superior and Duluth are set to go on strike starting next week. Nurses at a number of area hospitals, including St. Mary's and St. Luke's, will officially begin their strike on July 8th. Advanced practice providers at Ascensia Health will begin their strike 2 days later on July 10th. Organizers say the strikes are based on unfair labor practices, including chronic understaffing and the failure of the healthcare organizations to take their input on patient care needs into consideration. The developers of a solar energy production project in Polk County say the facility is set to begin operating this year. National Grid Renewables broke ground on the Apple River Solar Project last November. Officials say the 100-megawatt facility will be able to power about 26,000 homes and offset nearly 130,000 metric tons of carbon dioxide emissions. They also expect the facility to provide about $36 million in direct economic impact and $10 million in new tax revenue in the region over the next 20 years. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm today into this evening. Otherwise, partly cloudy. We'll get to around 83 for a high today. Tonight, down to 59. Tomorrow, sunshine, 85 with another chance of scattered showers tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 75.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Tracy Ann Mangold, how would you describe what it is that Brian Schimming is caught in the crossfires of?
He's the first paid state chair that they've ever had. And so the belief was that maybe that'll increase his ability to fundraise for the state. Obviously, that has not worked out so well. I've been told that he thinks 4 phone calls a day to fundraise is a lot, which, you know, isn't.
104 might be a good start.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, I put another candle on the old birthday cake, and I do mean old, plus Sherita Booker, Chad Holmes, Todd Alba, and Sean O'Malley.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
So much for all of your support.
Did you know
know that every weekday we send out an email before the show giving you all the topics coming up so you can be fully informed and ready to interact with our program? Or that after the show we send out Sue's Stack, a list of every topic I've discussed along with clickable hot links to every source of information I've shared with you on the air? It's all completely free and available over at tom.tv, T-H-O-M.tv. Check it out.
Back on the air. We are talking to Congressman Pocan. We'll be with Laura's call in just a moment as we look through who's going to be receiving pressure. Here are at least six of them. Don Bacon from Nebraska's 2nd District told the White House he would not accept more than a $500 million cut to Medicaid. This bill does multiples of that. He is now not seeking reelection. David Valadao, forgive me if I'm mispronouncing names, from California's 22nd District in the Central Valley, led a letter to John Thune key Medicaid cuts. Jeff Van Drew of New Jersey's 2nd District said that Senate caps on Medicaid would be a, quote, non-starter. Juan Siscomani in Arizona's 6th joined a letter to Thune not to move forward on those cuts. Rob Bresnahan in Pennsylvania's 8th District said, I will be standing with President Trump in opposing gutting Medicaid. My position on this has not and will not change. Be clear, he is referencing the fact that Donald Trump said over and over again in the campaign that he would not gut Medicaid. Now that this is precisely what he's pushing to be done. Laura, you've got a question for the congressman. You are on the air.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. My question, Senator Pocan, was, do you know why the representatives on the Republican side think that they should be afraid of losing President Trump's endorsement? Because he polls so badly. He endorsed Carney's opponent in Canada, and it helped Carney win. I would not want his endorsement if I were them. I would never vote for them. But at this point, I wonder if their constituents will even vote for them if they don't grow some, you know what, and stand up to the man. And
thank
we
you,
know
Laura.
That they're outlawed.
Thank you, Laura, very much. Congressman?
Yeah, well, in general, in a primary, because don't forget, you know, that's where he can beat them. He has, you know, double or triple the power that he normally has, even though, you know, MAGA may not be every single Republican, but every Republican, every MAGA is Republican, right? So he's got enough power to sway folks, and they're afraid they'll lose in their primary. And for too many people, it's about getting reelected, not what you do while you're here. And also, you know, what we saw in some of the cabinet appointments, at least four Republican senators, I was told by someone who talked to a high-ranking Democratic senator, said they would have voted against some of the cabinet picks, but they got their family got death threats. I mean, we're used to it as members, but their family members got it. And that's also comes into play. So end of the day, you know, it's just the awfulness of Donald Trump and Trumpian politics that they're afraid of.
Alfredo from Mountain View, you're on the air. You got a question.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Congressman, what do you think about having blitz commercials in red states stating or showing how these senators and congresspeople have voted for this horrible bill and how it's affected them? Because many, many people in these red states do not know about this bill. And so having a blitz on advertising on social media or whatever about what, how these senators and congresspeople voted, don't you think that would be a good campaign? And I take my answer of the air. Thanks.
Thanks, Alfredo.
Yeah, Alfredo, I mean, I'd say both paid and unpaid. Don't forget, you know, I've done, I think, four town halls in Derek Van Orden's district, my neighboring Republican member in a swing seat in Wisconsin, and we've got about 20 or 30 members that have been going around the country into Republican districts. We need more. And I would love to have a week where we went into 50 Republican districts and did these town halls, especially if they vote for this bill, they should have to be held accountable. They've all been told not to do town halls. To me, coming from Wisconsin, that doesn't pass the smell test. If the bill is as good as they say, you'd want to get on the rooftop and brag about it. Instead, they're hiding in their basements and they won't do town halls. So let's do unpaid media as well. Let's talk about the hospitals that could close, the nursing homes that could close, show the people that are going to be affected. And we need to do all of that post this bill.
And to the activists in the room, and I really appreciate your question, Alfredo, and want to amplify what I heard the congressman say. One of the reasons I think, and would encourage the precinct people and the people who are involved as activists, one of the reasons in this program, certainly when I'm here, want to propose, want to amplify a 50-state strategy, want to build upon communicating in every corner of the state, is so it isn't only Fox News is communicating on this stuff. So love what I heard and love the question. Devon in Pittsburgh, you've got a good procedural question that would love to hear the congressman's information on. Go ahead, Devon.
Awesome. So I've seen it online, not sure that it's true, but my understanding of government is if that bill is amended in any way in the House, then it has to go back to the Senate for a full vote on the Senate floor. So my idea is amend it with anything. Put something up that the Republicans cannot vote against. Get the bill amended so we can slow walk this puppy some more. And I'd just like to also say, if you're a constituent of Morgan Griffith in Virginia's fighting ninth, call Morgan. Let him know this is going to hurt you, because it is. You're going to lose hospitals. You're going to lose your food stamps. You're going to lose your Medicaid. Call Morgan Griffith and beg him to examine his conscience and do the right thing.
Preach it, Devon. The congressional switchboard is 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. Go ahead, Congressman.
Yeah, so that's why I mentioned there were 500 amendments that Democrats introduced, but they go before the Rules Committee, and they have to be made into order to be on the floor. So they took no amendments. So all night that was going on. And right now there's a what we call a conga line, where they're trying to raise an amendment on the floor, but it's not properly in order because of that rules process. So it's kind of a dilatory thing to slow things down. But the reality is that the procedure doesn't allow you just to take an amendment directly to the floor without going through the Rules Committee, and they already had that process.
And so this means then that the members of Congress who don't like the change that happened in the Senate, they don't have much recourse at this point to try to make additional amendments without stopping the bill kind of fully and then making it go back to the Senate. Is that a proper understanding, or is there any way for them to get it to happen more quickly than that?
Yeah, in fact, they even screwed up yesterday, and now they have to do an amendment before the rule vote, because otherwise, if they called the vote and they didn't have it, the bill would actually fail, rather than they could, you know, leave it open procedurally, try to take care of it. So, you know, they're trying to do this very fast because of this artificial timeline that Donald Trump has. He wants to sign this before fireworks on the 4th of July, and, you know, that's all about Donald Trump. But again, that's all this presidency has been about. It's all about Donald Trump. But there is no procedural way, short of going through the Rules Committee, to get an amendment to actually then make the bill have to go back to the Senate. It's going to take Republicans voting against it, four of them, to join all the Democrats, no Democrats voting for this crap, to make it stop.
Lynn from Chicago, you're on.
Thanks so much for having me on, and thanks so much, Congressman Pocan, for everything you do. I wanted to talk quick about, in Wisconsin, how this is going to affect adults with disabilities. People don't realize Medicaid is not just health insurance. There's 14 waivers that support adults in their homes, help them go to jobs, come in their homes for self-care, provide day programs. I feel like there's just such naivety when it comes to what Medicaid really is, and also what the requirement is to get it. We have quarterly visits for my son. He's 30 years old, severely autism, nonverbal. Paperwork of the renewals are a Herculean effort. So, you know, by people always saying there's all these people out there that are getting this, that should be getting this, they haven't shown any proof of that. How do we get across to people that it's not waste, fraud, and abuse? It's, you know, conveying to people, the people who need it, they say it's going to be better now. Oh, more people are going to get it. Well, I've already seen budget amendments turned down and things starting to happen. How do we secure our adult children's futures to keep getting the services we need for them?
Thank you, Lynn.
Yeah, so Lynn, first of all, I mean, you know, you're right. I can give you the Wisconsin numbers. You can probably find any states right now out there because they have lists of this. One out of three kids in Wisconsin gets their health insurance from Medicaid. 45% of adults with disabilities living independently, like your son, get their support from Medicaid. 55% of seniors in Wisconsin in nursing homes, including my mom in her final years, get their support from Medicaid. So that's the Medicaid numbers. It's like 1.3 million people in my state that could be impacted depending on how these changes happen. And now, again, this could be a little different than the Senate bill, but I don't think it is. In Arkansas, they had implemented some of these things already, and it was found of the people that got kicked off of Medicaid, 70% were eligible. It's just it was so hard to do it with all the extra paperwork requirements that they weren't getting the service that they were eligible for. And that's part of why the numbers are so high, that people will lose access to health care.
Appreciate it. Let's go to Beverly in Portland, Oregon, my kind of town.
Thank you. I'm looking for a tangible, well, I'm looking for when are they going to implement these programs? I kind of think it's going to be after the election of 2026, and we won't tangibly feel these cuts until 27 after the election, like when I open my Obamacare bill.
It's a perfect segue, because the thing I want to make sure we talk to Representative Pocan about is sort of accountability for this bill, and with implementation dates, how do we communicate this? How do we talk about this? Right after this, we'll talk about that very subject. What happens next? You're listening to Tom Hartman Show. I'm Jeff. That's Congressman Mark Pocan. You're you.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
This is the Tom Hartman Show. We're wrapping it up with your calls. Congressman Mark Pocan, what's happening in the belly of the beast with the big, awful bill. Do you trust your deodorant? Most deodorants just don't work for us working guys. But then Mando rolled into town, ready to tackle all over odors before they even start. Mando created high-performance deodorants for whole-body odor control. Safe for your pits, packages, and feet, Mando's science-based formula is pH-optimized, capable of blocking odors before they start. Deodorants you're used to using just mask odors or neutralize them after they form, but Mando is powered by mandelic acid, clinically proven to work all day long. Developed by doctors, it's hypoallergenic and skin-safe for your sensitive parts. You can use Mando all over and leave your odor worries behind. Give Mando a go and see why guys are loving it. If it's not for you, they'll gladly refund you within 60 days. Smell better longer with Mando. Get 20% off site-wide on your first Mando purchase with the code TOM, T-H-O-M, at shopmando.com. Plus, shipping is always free. That's 20% off site-wide for first-time customers with the code TOM at shopmando.com. shopmando.com.
Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's National Handshake Day, but I find the idea that you just meet someone and you're holding a body part of theirs kind of odd. Hello, stranger. I'd like to squeeze your hand. Let's have an intimate act here. I have no idea where it's been or how you choose to use your hand in your spare time, but I'd like to hold it for a while. Unless it's a friend. Look, I don't know why we have to touch each other when we barely know each other.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wgbw.fm/contest-terms. Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on waukradio.com/contest-terms. Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wiss.fm/contest-terms. Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wmdxradio.com/contest-terms.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us.
You've probably heard the rumor, you can't regrow cartilage. But what if that's not entirely true? Science has discovered a unique protein that may help support joint cartilage regeneration naturally. Imagine moving freely without stiffness or pain. And the bonus, a glowing, hydrated look with fewer lines and wrinkles. Meet Native Path Collagen, a clean, single-ingredient formula made with hydrolyzed collagen peptides. No fillers, no additives, no artificial junk. It's a third-party tested for purity and packed with only type 1 and 3 collagen fibers, the ones your body needs most for healthy joints, skin, bones, hair, nails, and gut. Just 2 scoops a day delivers 18 grams of protein. Mix into the coffee, tea, any drink. It's completely flavorless, easy to use. Consistency is the key. Right now, get a special bundle deal at a fraction of the retail price and free shipping only available at getnativepath.com/Tom. That's getnativepath.com/THOM. Feel better, look younger, start your transformation today. We're on the air with Congressman Pocan. We got time for another couple calls. Right now we've got Bill. And Bill, I want to just ask you to just restate your question again so anybody who missed it has a chance to hear it.
Who decides what bills are legal or can be used, but it's usually on technical terms, financial, whatever, but they don't judge it based upon the damage that it's going to cause the citizens and kill them or harm them, that's not in there. And it's just like the filibuster is only for social services and things. It's not for money, which is kind of backwards. So,
Congressman, I appreciate it, Bill. Thank you so much. Congressman, what's your answer?
Yeah, well, I mean, the parliamentarian is there just to look at the narrow terms of what's allowed through the reconciliation process. Don't forget, the reconciliation process is a fancy word for how do you get around the 60-vote filibuster rules in the Senate, because they have very different rules than the House. So once a year, fiscal year, they can do a reconciliation bill, but that has to be, it gets you to 50 votes. 51 votes is the majority, not 60, but it has to be fiscal in nature. So they look at some stuff and they're saying, no, that goes beyond the policy considerations for the rules for reconciliation, but they're not there to judge whether a bill is bad or not. That's what your elected officials do, because you elect them or unelect them, and that's where that value comes in. So the parliamentarian has a kind of narrow focus on what they're actually allowed to look at, and it's what is allowed in a reconciliation law by the actual law itself, and values judgments don't take place with a parliamentarian.
And what I heard you say also, Bill, was to you that seems a little backwards, that maybe the impact on human beings should even be more important than the impact on sort of its fiscal impact. But I want to say something else about the parliamentarian. This is and what was done in the context of this bill. And this I'm taking from the New York Times this morning, which is they dodged it. Like, they were supposed to go to the parliamentarian to ask if their maneuver to pretend that a $3 trillion deficit-busting bill was actually not causing any deficit by pretending that the current tax structure was always going to be the tax structure. And the and Lindsey Graham decided and got approved with a vote of his party and his committee to avoid asking that question of the parliamentarian. They play in order to do this lie. It wasn't just that the parliamentarian wasn't equipped. They didn't even go to the parliamentarian on that question. Congressman, correct me or add more if you want. Otherwise, I'll take the next call.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's largely semantical what they're doing. I mean, everyone knows that they're adding to the debt. It adds to the debt service. They just played this game hoping that enough people are dumb enough to believe them. But I actually think it's so insulting. It backfires on them because it's so obvious what the real answer is on that. But they did find a way to go around the parliamentarian. But that's because it was more how they're considering it. It doesn't actually change the application of the law. It just changes how they consider what they're talking about debt. It's just a weasel way around it. It's semantics more than anything.
David from Fort Lauderdale, this might be our last call in this segment. Go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I haven't seen any study. I understand that insurance is going to go up on the Affordable Care Act, but also now there's going to be uninsured people showing up at the hospital, and hospitals are going to shift those costs to private insurance, as well as premium as fees going down for hospitals. I mean, rural hospitals are going to close. City hospitals are going to make less money. They're also going to be more inclined to put increases for private insurance for that as well. If there is a study, I can't find it. And my question is it too late to request a Congressional Budget Office to do such a study so that the public can know how much their insurance is going to go up?
Congressman?
Yeah, that doesn't normally happen necessarily before the bill. What we do know is if you take away the subsidies for the Affordable Care Act, that's what makes it affordable. That's what they're doing. That's why you're seeing the spikes and the increases. So you're exactly right that some people are going to lose insurance because they can't afford it. And you're also exactly right that many hospitals, you know, suddenly you're going to come in, you're going to be uninsured, but they're going to still take care of you because they have to. But there's nowhere to get the reimbursement for that. So they're saying up to 300 rural hospitals could close down because of these provisions. That's why one of the more significant areas the Senate looked at was adding $50 billion as kind of a payoff to rural hospitals. But it's probably not going to cover nearly what they need to actually make up for the loss and the cuts to Medicaid.
Congressman, thank you so much for spending this hour with us. Thank you so much for your service. Thanks so much for the time today. Any last thought you want to offer about this bill, about either to reflect upon it or what to do next or what you want to ask folks to do?
Yeah, just if you haven't called your member of Congress yet today, you really should and tell them to vote no against this bill, and you're going to hold them accountable come next November.
The call-in number of the Congressional Switchboard is 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121. The president, Fox News, etc., will try to make sure people don't understand this bill and or they forget this bill. All of us have to do our job so people remember it and remember the truth about it. Thank you so much, Congressman, and thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
How would you like to get a free smartphone? If you own a smartphone, listen to this incredible offer that's almost too good to be true. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Plus, get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline now and we'll move your number from your existing service. Think of your savings. So don't wait. Switch your plan, save money, plus get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline
online right now, we guarantee you're going to love our service. If you don't like what we say, you can hang up on us. But you won't. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. 800-942-1325. 800-942-1325. 800-942-1325. That's 800-942.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Tracy Ann Mangold. How would you describe what it is that Brian Schimming is caught in the crossfires of?
He's the first paid state chair that they've ever had. And so the belief was that maybe that'll increase his ability to fundraise for the state. Obviously, that has not worked out so well. I've been told that he thinks 4 phone calls a day to fundraise is a lot, which, you know, isn't.
104 might be a good start.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
This is Civic Media, bringing you news, talk, and community-minded conversations all across Wisconsin. You can find us at civicmedia.us and download the app for free today.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco, sports director for Civic Media. Right now, we're airing a Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks game over the air, but due to our rights agreements, we're not able to stream those games here. Civic Media might be a newer company, but we are dedicated to providing the best in sports coverage. Our team has decades of experience covering sports right here in Wisconsin. We've got Mike Clements, who covers our state's biggest teams on location and does daily updates on all of our Civic Media stations statewide. Many of our stations have local reporters dedicated to teams in their area, covering their communities dozens or even hundreds of times each year. No matter where you're at in Wisconsin, we are committed to covering sports, especially in the communities that our stations serve. And we put all of our local coverage right here on our stream, so you can go ahead and grab the free Civic Media app so you never miss a game at civicmedia.us/app. You can find the game you're looking for over the air, or you can stay tuned right here on the stream for more news, talk, and conversation. Thank you for listening to Civic Media from all of us here on the sports team.